Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber. I'm excited today to be able to bring back a very special guest, Damon John. Damon, welcome to Making Bank.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Last time we did it over videos online, Now we get to do it, hang out in person for a few minutes. So, the show was such a big success with having you on there. We had so many great response from the interview and everything, and got a lot of questions, so I'm excited to dive into some of those today with you and be able to share more entrepreneurial life advice and things like that.
I hope I can help.
Yep. Awesome. So one of the big things is people really wanted to know, what are like your top three kind of life rituals?
One, and I've always shared it, but we were discussing it earlier, is that I set goals. I do something. It's very, it's not just a simple goal setting pattern. It's really, it has a, you know, a method to it. So I have goals and I will expire, you know, in 6 months, and then some expire in 5 years, and then 20 years. And I've never gotten myself doing that, kind of like meditating. So that's number one. Number two is, and it's part of the goal setting process, is that I go and find time for myself, whether it's an hour on the treadmill walking, or whether it's, you know, we're in, you know, beautiful Arizona and I'm going to go and hike the mountain. I'm going to have my headphones on. I'm going to zone out because, you know, we're always being bombarded with all this information, requests, and our problems from everybody around the world, and we never really get to tap into ourselves and see what we're really going to do. And number three, and none of them are in order. Number three is by far my health. I go out of the way to take care of my health. No longer do I do the, I'll get to it one day, I'm going to take up swimming. Soon I'm going to start dieting. There is not dieting. Dieting is a band-aid, as you know. And often when you die, you rebound. So I've learned the value of health. And I think maybe because honestly, at 47 years old, too many of my friends have passed away.
Sure.
And I got to the point where I said, even though I think I'm healthy, we've all heard the person who had the tumor out of nowhere and then this out of nowhere. I've learned to really alkalize my body and start getting more proper sleep, exercise, and everything else. And I know I'm sounding like, you know, all, you know, yogi-ish and stuff, but it is absolutely important. And today we'll do something. I think that somebody said something really brilliant. They said entrepreneurs have a thousand dreams, and people without healthy entrepreneurs have a thousand dreams, and people without their health only have one dream. I found that fascinating when somebody just said that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's very impactful. One of the things, and this is kind of a personal preference, is, you know, you said you kind of walk and you have your headphones on, you zone out. And I've done both. I've run, I've walked with or without headphones.
Sure.
Do you find that you connect better and you're able to clear your thoughts with the headphones on, or be able to listen and kind of connect with nature?
Well, it all depends, you know. Often I walk without them. The reason why I do listen to music is because, going back to the goal setting, I have a playlist that I play, Bill Conte, Going the Distance, the old Rocky song is one of them, and I believe that almost like anything, like Pavlov's Law, whatever the case is, when I play that list, whether I'm doing my goals or not, or getting them, it acts and it starts to reinforce what I was thinking. You know, listen, at the end of the day, to me, I'm a very personal love music. Music is the soundtrack of my life, and I don't care who you are, you hear songs that remind you maybe of the most miserable time of your life or the best time of your life, the time you're this old, this young, whatever the case is. So that's why I do it. And then a lot of times I'm really a nature person, so I love looking at the ocean, and I don't need any distraction on looking at the ocean. I can sit there and look at it for 7-8 hours.
Right.
A bit of me.
Awesome. Well, cool. So what has suffered the most from your success?
Well, you know, that's always going to be a question on if, you know, I am divorced, I have two beautiful kids that are older now, and, you know, was I in their lives the way that I would like to be? I think all parents always question, of course, you know, what was sacrificed during their career. Now, the times that I've been out working and playing or whatever I've been doing, you know, I was working on my dream, but, you know, honestly, if I wasn't who I am, and I was working someplace else, I would have put the same time and or energy for somebody else's dream. And many people watching are doing that right now. So I always question, of course, did I do the right thing as a father, a parent, or a husband? Let me see what else suffers. Going back again now to health. my health has suffered in declines over a couple of years, and I don't know if I'm going to pay for it 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. I have no idea, but it's never too late to number one, try to do more than I can for my family members, try to improve my health.
Definitely, I think, you know, the better our health is, it definitely impacts our overall ability in as an entrepreneur and our business, for sure. What have you learned about yourself from running all your different businesses?
I mean, I think that's a good question, and what I like about the conversation we're having is too many people talk about entrepreneurship and only talk about the numbers and trying to maximize this or this and that, but a lot of people, you know, don't really acknowledge the fact that people are people, and however you are, how you act, and you run the company, and how you treat the people around you, or you interact with them is very important. So, what have I learned about myself? Well, I learned that I don't like micromanaging. I hate micromanaging. I also learned that over the years, I had at one point, I had probably about 400 employees working directly underneath me, and then another 1,000 that worked indirectly for me, and I don't like more than 50, 60 employees. I don't care how many people want to stand on the mountain and say, I run this and that, and I want to change people's lives. But, you know, studies have shown after you get past 120 or 150, people stop knowing names and it becomes a little cold. And I find it fascinating when I hear people who run companies of 15,000, 20,000. I find that absolutely fascinating. But I do not like, you know, large staff. So those are a couple of things that that I've learned.
Okay. And I know today we were kind of talking a little bit about brand and brand, you know, that question keeps popping up a lot. So one of the questions was, had to do with like brand authenticity. And what are some of the brands out there that you think are truly authentic? And then what makes you want to consume them?
Well, brand authenticity is, especially today with transparency, brand authenticity is really, are you sticking to the core of why you were created? And the natural progression of the brand is something that you agree upon it. You're not doing it because of money. At the end of the day, and don't get me wrong, we're all in business to make money, and there are natural ways to grow your brand to make money. But also, does your brand now, today, we're seeing more than ever before, how do you enrich somebody's life, whether it's a social cause that you help, or whether you're curing this challenge they have in their life? Because now, we're starting to learn that consumers today, they have 100 choices in any concept of what they're going to buy, and they tend to want to buy things that really empower other people. So that's one aspect. Of course, what brands do I like? There's going to be brands I consume. I'm a big Apple fan, no matter what, still, but I want to try to think of some other brands that are really out there. 5-4 Denim is really an amazing brand. It is kind of like a subscription model brand. I like Spiritual Gangster. Like you see, you know, I always find Coca-Cola fascinating. You know, Coca-Cola, you know, sells sugary water at the end of the day. The brand is still globally recognized. They keep coming up with new ways to share and find new audiences. I mean, cola is made by millions of different companies, and they find themselves being very effective. I'm loving what Netflix and Amazon is doing. I mean, Amazon, of course. I mean, Amazon's taking over the world. Oh, yeah. Facebook, an incredible brand. So, you know, those are some of the brands that for various reasons I like, but they keep changing, they keep evolving, they keep developing, they keep finding new customers, and I find that fascinating.
And so part of it is, you know, why you consume them. So, like, you know, it's Spiritual Gangster, my wife, obviously, t-shirts are super soft and comfortable.
Yeah, so I consume them for a couple of reasons. So Spiritual Gangster, I'll consume because it is managed, just like Lululemon, another brand I respect. It matches stick to its core beliefs, but yet be appealing to everybody. I love a brand like Nike because as big as Nike is, going to hit almost $20 billion in annual sales, they will still make the one-off shoes for the one-off individual that customizes. So they can go as high as mass all over the globe, and then they can also customize things. So I like that. And Facebook, of course, I like it because the data and the analytics, you thought you were doing one thing with Facebook, next thing you know, we're broadcasting live on Facebook. It's becoming the medium of television and or the way to broadcast. And it's empowering people because if you look at some of the challenges we see out there today, whether we want to talk about how negative they are or not, when somebody would have told you, hey, this guy got shot for the, somebody killed him because of a taillight was broken. Right. He had blood going, yeah, what are you talking about? But now all of a sudden, because it's been the hands into the power to the hands of people, there is conversation that have to be had. So this is a reason why I like Steve.
Yeah, and so you kind of mentioned Facebook and Facebook Live. You're always seeing some Facebook Live videos. Uh-huh. How have you seen that impact your brand and be able to, you know, directly make an impact?
Oh, I've seen an amazing, not resurgence, but I've seen that even 3 years ago, you know, there was something that came out negative about me or even positive about me. I couldn't like people and show them and or empower them directly, and I get to see how many people are analyzing things, and I get to answer their questions live. And I get to then go and analyze and see other people how they're using my my content.
Right.
And after that, then I have to say, well, who do I really hit? You know, people want ABC and Shark Tank. And, you know, I don't want them to know who is my customer, because if you look at that customer, a lot of kids watch, a lot of parents watch, a lot of middle-aged Americans watching who are on YouTube. But I'm also the fashion guy, is the fashion people watching. So I get to start to see the analytics by the questions there.
Right. And that's the cool thing about Facebook, is they do drive and give you just so much data and analytics now for you. What are some of the key metrics that you've found that have made your business successful that you really have to monitor?
Well, I always have to monitor the consumer, of course, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm in so many different businesses, and as we all know, there's many people who say they like something, they love something, but will they actually dig in their pockets and take out some money and actually purchase it? And will they also share that information with another person? So the key metrics that I look at is usually how many times do I have to touch a person or to then convert into some level of a sale. Now, a sale doesn't have to be hard cash. It could be a like, could be somebody showing up someplace, it could be somebody sharing something. So I try to look at how many times I have to touch them and also to share it with you. My theory is to be one step away from money these days, and that means that I don't want to have to depend on a retailer to maybe put it out here and maybe somebody else buys it. I want to talk directly to the customer, and if they don't want something from me, I want to know why and how can I make sure.
And I think that's, you know, very interesting, you know, one step away from the money.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people these days, you know, they keep, you know, okay, you know, it's bad to really want information of businesses are making money,
right,
or profitability. I mean, how do you manage and deal with that?
Well, you know what, I have a very, you know, the way that I try to discipline myself. I don't keep my academic power, bro. Even though I may have fellow partners who want to invest or money at home and things of that nature, I try to do as much as I can with little to no resources, and then once we see that it works to some level, then we can go and replicate it in various different areas and grow. And I don't go, well, if I just spend another $100,000, I'm going to get better. No, we're going to have to figure this out. There's going to be a lot of fights with my staff, and or I may have to fire myself that day and go, we need another manager for this because I suck. So, you know, it's just something, if you don't go and throw money at things all the time, you just start the reality of why it's working or not working.
Cool. No, that's great. This is a good one. You know, what is your winning strategy now that you've seen, you know, that's created success now, past food?
Well, my winning strategy has been, number one, don't throw money at it, not to solve it, number two, and not in any order, have an absolute passion and drive and want to do this. You know, all the time that the companies have failed that I have ran out there as a part of, it's failed for one of three reasons, but to me, number one, I didn't love it.
Okay.
Number two, and when I didn't love it, I didn't do enough research on it. And number three, if I didn't love it, then I also didn't spend enough time. So first of all, I have to be passionate about it. Then I have to surround myself also with younger talent, because I can't get too comfortable thinking I know everything, because time is changing so fast that you have to give new people opportunities to look at things through a different lens. So those are a couple of things that are important for me.
And then how do you, you know, with all the different businesses you've been investing in, you know, through Shark Tank, how do you find the time to be able to make sure, you know, you're dedicated to it?
Very challenging. In finding the time, I put really good people around them. But at the end of the day, it always goes back to who's running the ship, as the entrepreneur, the CEO, the president, whoever is the owner. I can only add a couple of things to there, whether it's advice, things of that nature. But if you're not doing well, I can't change everything. If you're not open to listen, a hard worker. So the sharks are only one step of the person's level to success. success because there's a bunch of different stuff. And at the end of the day, the buck stops with them.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people, I think, don't realize from seeing the show to when you guys become.
I have failed many, many people because they thought I'm going to, you know, I got David on my partner and I'm going to be a millionaire and he knows everything. Well, if I knew everything, I always joke and say, and I do not know everything. And they need to know that no matter what, you can't get around it. The buck stops at you.
For sure. So let's see. And we got a few minutes left. One thing I wanted to ask you. So my daughter started a business. She's eight. She has a company called Paleo Pets. And she's making pet care products that are all natural and organic. Uh-huh. What would you say to aspiring kid entrepreneurs for, you know, where the business is going?
Aspiring kid entrepreneurs. So, you know, I guess that, you know, they have to find their following and definitely do something that they love. So it sounds like, you know, that maybe she wants to keep her pet healthy, or maybe a pet has passed, you know, passed away in the past, and she found out that, you know, there was a lot of things that she could have or somebody else could have done to do better. So, you know, you have that understanding there. But also, you know, you have to look at the competition out there and see if you're priced accordingly and you are, you know, what's the reason or what's the unique selling proposition that you have for people. So if, you know, there are other natural dog foods or pet foods, you know, are you, do you deliver it faster? Is it healthier for any other reason? Is it cheaper? Is it more expensive because it's exclusive and it's handmade for various reasons? So what's your unique selling proposition? At the end of the day, what's the numbers? How much does it cost you to make it? How much do you sell it? And put every single cost in there. How much your time is, how much shipping is, and everything else. Because so often, we just want to sell something.
Right.
We think that's the right price, but we put all the effort, the packaging, and everything else.
No, that's awesome. And I know you do a lot of education. You've been working with the current administration, Obama, I guess, on bringing more awareness to entrepreneurship. What is that kind of direction that you're driving with that?
Well, I mean, you know, we have three pillars and responsibilities. You know, one of them are, first of all, we have to inspire people domestically and around the globe about entrepreneurship and kind of educate them on how entrepreneurship can change their life. Number two is that we want to now show them how to actually do things. That's not going to open up your smartphone and open a business. And number three, how to get access to information and data. And once we do that, the reason why we do that is it creates more jobs and it also helps for a better world, because when people have ways of power to make money, they'll be less likely to do something, join a gang, or do something crazy that is not in our best interest. So that is my job, and I love every minute of it. I love seeing people in power.
No, that's awesome, and I really appreciate you coming on today. I know we have a copy of your book here. So.
Sure. And Shark Tank's new season is out now on ABC, Friday night, 9 p.m. You'll see some of the six shark panels. You'll see more shark fights. And more importantly, you'll see way more young and amazing entrepreneurs that are going out there. They're changing the world, and they're empowering them.
And I think that's one of the biggest things with Shark Tank is the fact that kids can watch it and it inspires them and really helps drive them to start thinking creatively.
And when kids watch shows like that and, you know, they start to think about how they can empower themselves and create something and live their dream, then they're less likely to go do other things and waste their time. Like I did most of my life watching crazy cartoons and music videos.
Right. You know? Cool. Well, thanks again for coming on Make It Bank. It was an honor and I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
I am Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.